Hello. Greetings, everyone. This is Valerie Harris, and I'm here with Pastor Willie Hunter, and we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're excited to be back on the air, and I just want to take a moment to thank God for all that He's done and what He's doing. Gracious Father, we need you, Lord. We need your spirit. We need your power. We need your presence. God, we thank you, Lord, as we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Father, we don't come for show, Lord God, but we come to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to encourage, Lord God, and we expect, Lord God, for you to move in signs and miracles and wonders. That, Father, that as we come together, Lord God, in one accord, Lord, with one mind, Lord God, only to elevate you, God, and to bring you glory and to bring you honor. Lord God, I release myself to you, Lord God. I put myself in your hands. And, Lord God, I pray that by your spirit you would speak to us, Lord God, and to speak through us, Lord God, that we gather together, Lord God, here on one accord, Lord God, in this hour, Father, seeking your face, Lord, seeking your presence, Lord God, seeking to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, Lord. God, I give you praise. I give you glory. I magnify your holy and righteous name because there is none other, Lord God. You are high and lifted up, Lord Jesus, the glory of the nations. You are high and lifted up, the glory of the earth, Lord God. And I'm honored, God. We are honored to come before your presence, Lord God. Come before your presence to give you worship and praise, Lord. Coming before your presence to speak your holy name, God. Oh, Lord, I bless your holy name, Father, forever and ever. Lord, I pray that you bless this hour, Lord God, that you be in the midst of us, Lord, that you would use us, Father, to speak to one another, to speak life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I honor you, Lord. To you belong the glory. To you belong the honor. And to you belong the praise. Bless every person, Lord God, under the sound of my voice. And give us an ear to hear, and eyes to see, and hearts to understand. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. I am so glad to be here at this time. I'm so glad that through trials and tribulations and tests and adversities that God allowed and permitted me to be here one more day, a day that he has created, a day that he has made, a day that he has ordained for his good pleasure. I was thinking about today because it marks a day in our history that we celebrate or we honor those who have gone before us, veterans who have given their lives for the cause of freedom, that we have the liberties in this country that we do, because there were men and women who went to war on our behalf. And so I was thinking about what today means for many in our nation. And a definition for a memorial is preserving the memory of a person or thing, something serving as a remembrance. So this is the day that we come together to remember those that we knew, those that we loved, our loved ones. I was watching the news a bit ago, and they were having a gathering in the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. But today, this means so much more to me, because to commemorate is to honor the memory of, by observing, reflecting, And I believe that many of you may know where I'm going with this. Because there's one who laid down his life for us. And I want to honor that one today, especially. And his name is Jesus. Reading from the book of Exodus 13 and 3. This is the story of Moses and his nation, the nation of people who were in bondage to Egypt. Egypt was the place that we know is the land of bondage. And starting with verse 3, it reads, "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib." Now, Abib in the Jewish calendar is, there's a 3-month difference between the Jewish calendar and our calendar. And Abib here is like our April. But he's saying, remember this day that I brought you out of bondage. I want you to remember that statement, because after the lesson, I want you to remember the day when Jesus set you free, when he brought you out of bondage and where we are today. And then if you go down to Exodus 13 and 8, it reads, "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." Now, between verses 3 and 8, it talks about them not eating leavened bread, or unleavened bread, because God didn't want them to celebrate with the bread, because it was a way of one of the requirements that God had brought to the people, because he truly wanted them to remember the day that they came out of bondage. And the scripture said that they came out by God's strong hand. Well, from the beginning of the Bible, or from the beginning of our history, man started out free. And what allowed them to go into bondage was disobedience. But God, when he had that relationship with Adam in the garden, he had already told them that there would be one that would come that would crush the head of their enemy. Prophesied in the book of Genesis about the coming of his son. God's desire never was to lose his chosen or to lose his people. And we're all created in the image and the likeness of God. But our journey here on earth is not about us celebrating one another outside of God, but acknowledging each other by the Spirit of God. Jesus spoke a word in the book of Acts, and he told them, before he died, he told his disciples, he said, "It is expedient that I go away, that the Spirit might come." So why did Jesus come? What was his purpose? His purpose was to set the captives free, to release us from bondage, the bondage of sin, the bondage of being separated from our loving Heavenly Father, from our Creator. Hebrews 13 and 3 says, remember them that are in bond, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Now, when I read that scripture, when he led me to that scripture, I thought about those who were incarcerated, because I go into the prisons quite often and I visit with the prisoners. I visit with the inmates. And I don't just go into any prison. I go into death row. I'm reminded that the apostles spent time in prison. John the Baptist spent time in prison. Jesus himself was arrested. And men took it upon themselves to render judgment upon God's chosen. And so when I go into this place, this place of incarceration, and I speak to these men on death row and I get to know them, it reminds me of the beforehand, of the apostles. It reminds me of those who are soldiers on the battlefield of the Lord. It brings me back to a reflection of how God can transform a life and he can deliver people out of bondage. Oftentimes I tell them, they may have you behind bars. You may be incarcerated here, but you don't have to be incarcerated in your mind and in your thoughts. God said that life and death is in the power of our tongue. And you know, there's not one person that I know who hasn't made a mistake. And if you look at it, we can all be considered murderers. We may not have shed blood in a person's life, but we might have said something. We might have spoke something to kill somebody's spirit. If you look at the world right now, and the condition of our land right now, we don't even have to look at the whole world. Let's just go into a community. Let's go into our community where our children are dying. As a race of people of color, where our history was of being kidnapped and brought to a country and enslaved and beaten and died at the hands of ruthless men who treated us as a possession and not as a people. There were people who fought for our freedom, who bucked against the system and said no more. And they wanted to be free. And they cried out for freedom. And then they gave us a piece, a part of property, of land, and allowed us to grow. Over time, there were men and women who fought for our liberties and our freedoms. And now you can go into, you know, the men and women who have fought for in this country. There have been men and women of all races, of all nationalities, fighting for freedom. Now, that's in the natural. But remember that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and the things that we speak can kill and crush somebody else. God wants us to operate in the spirit of love and in the spirit of forgiveness and in the spirit of second chances, because he gave us a second chance. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to love. He showed us how to forgive. And those things he has not changed his mind about. But we find that in our communities, I'm looking at our children and how, you know, from the community I grew up in, we were a close-knit community. We had segregation back then, but within our community, we were close. We looked after each other. We honored each other. You could go next door. If you didn't have food, you can get food. You didn't have to go all the way to the store for a cup of sugar. You could walk next door and knock on a neighbor's door and tell them what they need, and the need was fulfilled without question. When your children were at home by themselves, they looked out for them. Your doors were unlocked, but you knew that there was safety there in a community of people who knew one another and who cared about one another. Now our communities are so divided and so separated, we don't know our neighbors. And we live behind gated areas where we have burglar bars on our windows and burglar bars on our doors, and you can't even hardly get through the door. If you going through a neighborhood, rarely do you see people outside. When we grew up in communities where our children were able to play outside and they had structure and they had discipline from their parents, they had a mother and a father. And when they didn't have a mother or a father there, you had community. But you have to know that we have an enemy called the devil. I'm not going to blame it on a single person, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. We wrestle against those things that we cannot see, but they're just as real or more real than the things that we can see. And we can fall prey to that if we don't resist and if we don't fight for our freedom. And what I said, that we can kill somebody's spirit with our words. I was trying to remember earlier today. It was something that I used to say to my daughter all the time. She was just like, I don't know if she was rebellious or what it was about her that irritated me, but I would always speak something to her until the Holy Spirit stopped me and he told me, don't call her that. I made her that for a reason. I designed her that when she will walk into a room, devils will tremble and flee. He said, don't crush her spirit. I gave her that. What you need to do as a parent is to mold her and shape her. So how many parents are guilty of beating their children down and cursing them out and speaking bad things about what they aren't, what they can't, and not building them up by the Spirit of God? You know, the word says that If you would train up a child the way he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the greatest weapon that we have is love. We should love our children. We should love our neighbors. Christ said we should love our enemies. That's a tool, an instrument in our hands. And regardless of how we judge somebody or we look at somebody, and what we think of that person,
if we learn how to move in love, if we learn how to operate in the Spirit of God, love can transform a life. So, repeating Hebrews 13:3, it says, remember them that are in bond. As you abound with them, God intended for us to look out for one another, for us to show compassion, to build one another up. And them which suffer adversity as being also in the body. We are the body of Christ. When our brothers and sisters are going through adverse situations, we should take it as if we're going through adversity. They should be there for us, and we should be there for them. Let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. Because sometimes we may be the strong, and other times we may need somebody to be strong for us. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. One Spirit, one body, many members. Thinking about this, you know, I would think that as an individual, sometimes we feel like we don't need nobody else and we can do it all by ourselves. But this is not a carnal walk. It's a spiritual walk. Jesus gave his life so that we could know his Spirit. He said that we don't even need somebody to teach us. What we need is to be led by the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to connect us as the body. And in the body, there are many gifts, and he unfolds them. But we don't have a right to judge one another. We need to begin to see through the eyes of God and get to know what God wants and what he desires. He has commissioned us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize those in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and make disciples of all men. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, because he's the perfecter. He is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith. And there's one more passage of scripture I'd like to acknowledge, and this is coming from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And this will answer the reason why Jesus came. He said, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And what was he talking about? I kind of skipped down to a part, but we're going to go back up and read that. Because he was talking about Zacchaeus. Give me just a moment. Let me turn over to Luke 19. And And this is talking about the conversion of Zacchaeus. Now, in the first verse it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little of stature." So here you got this small man pressing in the crowds to see Jesus. He had to have heard about him, but he wanted to see him. He wanted to know him. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So this indicated that Zacchaeus and Jesus had never met. But Zacchaeus was curious and he wanted to know who this Jesus was. Do you remember? Can you reflect back to when you wanted to know who Jesus was? And so Jesus came by this place where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up in the tree and he saw it. And Jesus called him by name. Never met him. And I read that to say this: you may not know who he is, but he knows you by name. And when you seek him, you're going to find him, because he's coming by to abide with you. Now, all these religious people were in the crowd, and they saw him going off to spend time and to eat at Zacchaeus' house, and they started talking about him, crucifying him with their words. He going to a sinner's house. Speaking words without compassion. But Jesus said, "This is the reason why I came. I came to seek and save that which is lost." Now, if you save, you cannot forget. You have to set up a memorial, a reflection, and commemorate the day that he loosed you from your bondage. Doesn't mean that you don't have problems in your life, but he set you free. He set you free for his good pleasure. He came to please his Father and to give us a way back to the original intent and what God had created us for.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is a God of love,
mm-hmm.
a God
mm-hmm.
of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take the time, it'll be just a moment, and I'm going to read you this poem that was collaborated between me and one of those inmates I visit, one of those who incarcerated, one who was on death row. And it's called The Price of Freedom. Every morning I cry, awaken to another day, knowing that my people are not free. No sense of community, our children dying in the streets, oblivious of where they came from, walking aimlessly through darkness, unaware of the heritage of a proud people who fought and died for the cause of freedom and us and our children. Now our children are lying dead in pools of blood, never comprehending what their lives were meant to be. born kings and queens who live beneath their means, born to reign, born to prosper, born to lead. As the divine being that lies within must transcend into who we once were, only then can we begin to heal, to believe, to live in a world that's lost, yet must be found as we compound the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding of what it means to live free, renewing the flames of our passion to reign and to rule our lives as we were born and destined to be, coming forth from the spirit within us, the creator of our souls, the giver of life itself, giving way to the burning light, dispelling the darkness and the deceptions which keep us in bondage, igniting flames of passionate desire to be free, to live free. Our path of freedom has already been paved with the sacrifice of blood. The chains of darkness must be broken, blinded eyes must be opened, so our children may see and know and love who they really are, kings and queens and leaders of a nation destined for greatness. I long for the days when my tears would turn to joy, when destiny is fulfilled and freedom is restored, free to be who we truly are. There's one who gave his blood for all mankind, for every race, for every nation. But what are we leaving to the next generation? In reading those scriptures, when Moses told him, set up a memorial, remember the day when you were set free from your bondage. But not only remember, teach your children, tell your children why. You have to pass it on to the next generation and let them know who they are, who they were born to be, not enslaved. Teach them how to love, encourage them, build them up. And even when they stray,
amen,
God made a promise that if you raise them up the way that they shall go, that they will return.
Amen.
So we want to open up the lines and have a discussion, because for us to get back to the place where we're supposed to be, we can't do it alone.
Amen.
God has given us visions and dreams and desires and destiny and purpose. But as one body with many members, we have to operate together.
Amen.
That our children might be saved.
Amen.
The line's open.
Anybody got a question? May I call out your last four numbers of your phone? 71703. Are you there? 1702. Are you there? Twenty-5-06, are you there? You on the line, can we talk? You on the line, can we talk? We're on the radio station, can we talk?
Has been said. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Glory to God. The word is always on time. Have me, Holy Spirit, say what you would have me to say. We must be careful the house that we build, because we may have to live in it. And that means that what we teach the children today, we will have to live with tomorrow. And teaching them to love is the greatest thing that we can do. First of all, to love God, to love people. And we believers, as believers, must realize this truth, that darkness is the absence of light. And we being the light, we must flip that switch. Seek God and let him be our, as we submit ourselves, Heavenly Holy Spirit, as we submit our will to his will for our lives, we will see those things that Sister Harris was just teaching us, was just bringing to us through his spirit. We will see the change come about. We will see the children reflecting God in this earth the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sister Harris. Thank you for the word that you brought forth.
Now, a question. Hello? Hello?
Yes,
can
we still hear?
Okay. All right. Well, the question now is, I have to ask everybody, how many days of the week do you talk to people about your children, about somebody else's children?
About their children?
Yeah. To them about what their children. You might know something that can help their children. Do you tell them or not tell them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Day before yesterday, I got a chance to talk to a young man from Iowa. He was visiting Cave, Houston area, and he's a recent graduate. And he was operating in the spirit of fear, and I had a chance to talk to him and to witness to him the truth as we know it and the things that we have experienced. And it opened his eyes because he was ready to leave his hometown for fear, thinking that if he left his hometown that he would avoid trouble. But I had to encourage him, no, that's not true, because the enemy is the enemy wherever you go, the same enemy. And once he knows your weakest link, he's going to work that area in your life wherever you are. And I encouraged him to go into the Word. Because the time to pray, to prepare for war is not when war comes upon you, not when your enemy strikes you, but you prepare for war before that time. And our weapons of warfare against Satan is the Word of God. So I encouraged him to read Proverbs. There's a proverb for every day of the month.
21.
To read the Proverbs, like, today is the 27th?
Mm-hmm.
27. And at the end of this month, you start over again. And as he put that word in him and it gets down in his heart, you know, that it will come back out as needed. And the next day I saw his parents, and they were thanking me that I spoke to their son and said he really enjoyed talking to you. So it really does matter that we talk to the children. Sometimes the parents are Christians, but you can't all the time reach your own child. But if believers will allow the Spirit of God to speak through them as he puts something in your mouth, let it come out, you never know what you're doing. You never know what seeds that you're sowing.
Amen. Teacher Harris?
Yes. See, that's what community is about. You know, it takes a village, as they say, to raise a child. And so it's not just, you know, the responsibility of the parent, but it's the responsibility of the community of people. And if we can ever get together on one accord and watch out for one another and have one another's back, then I believe that You know, we start with one. You say, but you never know who you, what life you're speaking into. Because that one life that you take the time out to speak, and one child that you love, they may not have a parent. They may have grown up in adverse situations and in difficult times. If you spend that time with just a word, that it may change their lives, and they may be the catalyst for something great that God may use them to save nations.
Amen. Well, I want to just put I want to put this person on hold and go to another one. Hold on. All right, let me see her. All right. Let's see her. I'm going to go back to this number. 5310. Are you there? Can we talk?
Hey, Dr. Hunter, thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Harris, for Sister Valerie, for teaching such a mighty word. And when you talk about community, you went all the way back with examples, just even with a cup of sugar. We were all raised like that, families in the neighborhood. We all the neighbors and families and church members, we all saw each other regularly and took care of each other's and children. To this day, generations later, we still go back to the neighborhood looking for those same elders that was there when we were kids. And so to hear y'all speak about that today, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. We're really so far from that, but in our own little circles we do good, but not in the whole neighborhood. So even on my street, I don't know my neighbors like that, but when we grew up, it was so much like that. And it's a good lesson to hear you talk about how we should do and how we should be as believers, as Christians. And the example she just gave, I always like to share with my nieces and nephews. They this past weekend even mentioned to hear my nephew and niece say, "Hey, Charlene is always there for us. I'm always talking to them and trying to just inspire them." It's just a blessing. It don't have to always be our child, because my sister's always talking to my son. Pastor Greg is always talking to my son. I'm always talking to his daughter. You know, it's just so that we sow a seed of love and of God, and just be able to listen. It goes a long way in a community of believers. So I'm just thankful for this lesson. Great, great teaching, Sister Valerie and Dr. Hunter, and the comments so far. Love you all, and thank you for having me.
Amen. Well, God bless you. One of the things I will say again, I want to ask the question to the ladies. Now, you ladies know more about the men. How do you teach the men to become better men, from a young man all the way up? How do you help your husband, your children, your son, and your daughter become a better man? Are you there? Can we talk?
First of all, I would say that the way you do that is you get close to God and get his direction, because we are all different people. And you know, like if you were making dessert, the same ingredients don't go into the same cake if you want a different flavor. And so you have to have the guidance of the Spirit of God. Remember, this is not just a natural walk, it's a spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he has ordered our steps, and we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. He will tell you when to not say something, or he'll tell you when to go and do something. You might, you know, he'll give you what you need. It's something about that God put inside of a woman that I learned is he's given us some powerful intuition. Your
now,
children may be out there in the street, and it's something that will hit you in a minute, and you'll know that they're in trouble.
Amen.
Now, what is that? Help me to understand.
That's the unction of the Spirit that God has given to women. I'm not saying that men don't have it, but it's something about a woman with that motherly instinct.
Yes.
That they know when something is not right. Now, the thing that I'm going to say that needs to be restored, I'm not going to say is lost, because the thing is that God tells us that the older women should teach the younger women the older men should teach the younger men. But in that teaching, I believe that it's important that we connect other people to God in the spiritual sense and help them to understand how God speaks, to develop a, to hear God's voice and to understand. Now, Sister Samson said earlier, she was talking about the word. Sometimes, you know, in that path, we have to have the word of God. We have to feed upon the word of God, even though we may not understand it. But if you're reading the word and you're talking to God about it and asking for revelation and asking for understanding, the Spirit of God will bring it to you when you recognize his voice and you obey his voice.
Amen.
How do you teach a young man? You love him with the love of God, and you teach him the word. And I'm not saying that you have to go and say, this scripture say this or this scripture say that. If the word is in you, they can read your life and know who God is. The way you teach a person is by example, not just telling somebody something, but living it. Live the life before them. How do you teach your husband? Be a Proverbs 31 woman.
All right. This one, she's on fire now.
You gotta live by example. If you see it, it's something about a sight. If you can see a thing, if you can envision that thing, you'll start desiring that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have, as a people, we have a tendency to test one another. Well, I'm going to see how far I can push her. I'm going to see how far I can use her.
Wow.
But a woman who's close to God, that has the wisdom of God, and who allow themselves to be led by God,
amen.
Ain't done no game on her.
Amen.
Teacher Harris, may I ask a question?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm looking for a guy named Gregory. Has anybody seen Gregory?
What's his last name, Dr. Hunter?
I think his name is Williams.
Oh, that,
you mean
that'd
my
be
friend
me
on
then.
The phone?
That'd be me if you're talking about Greg Williams.
I see your name on my Blog Talk Radio. I said, what the? I said, oh, I know this guy here. Maybe you'll answer. I knew you would. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty well, Dr. Hunter. How you doing? Yeah. Hey, Sister Valerie.
Hey, my brother. Glad to hear your voice. I've been
glad
missing
to hear
you.
Glad to hear your teacher tonight. Glad to hear your teacher tonight. I caught it. You know I caught it. Oh, yeah. I caught it. Y'all ain't going to keep me too far behind.
I knew it.
Pastor Greg, one thing that, you know, when I read that poem, I do. I wake up crying. It's like a burden. And I know that it's the Father's heart. It's not me that's crying. It's him crying through me about these children. And we see on the news, and we may know somebody, you know, children are killing themselves, and we're not recognizing the signs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if we pay more attention to them, we're so busy with life that we forgot about what's important. If God put a responsibility in our lives, children and grandchildren, we got to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
You know, they used to say, Dr. Hunter, they used to tell us when we were growing up, a child should be seen and not heard. We better start listening.
I know that's right. Well,
we better
know
where our children are and what they doing. We need to be all up in their business.
Well, I tell you this. Amen. Go ahead, Mother Harris. Go ahead.
Pastor Greg?
Yes, ma'am.
I think Dr. Hunter was talking to you.
No, he said Sister Harris. Dr. Hunter, were you talking to me or you was talking to Sister Harris?
I was talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, between me and you and the fence post, how are we going to reach more of these young people? For example, how are we going to reach them more now in these latter days that we now live? How can I be in concert with you, you in concert with me, and some other men? How can we be in concert together? Help me out. Help me.
You know what's so beautiful about it, though, Doctor, listening to the call tonight and knowing, first of all, knowing who we are amongst right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is the way we do it right here. Just like this, because it's something about when a small group of believers come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about that, you know, because our word tells us that our job is to lift him up. And he say when you do the lifting, when you lift up, then I do the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I begin to draw people to you. And
mm-hmm.
you won't even see them coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, Dr. Hunter, the best thing that we can do is to do exactly what we're doing right now. Come together, as Matthew 18 and 19 tell us to do, and agree in Jesus' name.
Uh-huh.
And that everything that we ask for, he'll give it to us. But here's where I really see us coming together, and I believe Sister Valerie spoke on it, about seeking instructions.
That's it.
Instructions.
That's it.
Yeah, instructions. Because sometimes it may not be for us to go out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe what I heard Sister Valerie speak to all of us tonight. And I want to say thank you, Sister Valerie, for a great word and great, great, great topic tonight. Is that if we stay close, then he'll tell us when to go, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes we go out when he really wants us to stay at home base, because he gonna send them to us. But if he sent us someone our way and we didn't already move, then we missed the opportunity. So we have to, like Sister Valerie said, we have to be in tune with when to go and when to stay, when
mm-hmm.
to speak and when to listen. Because sometimes it's for us to listen as well. Sometimes it's not for us to give no advice, none, zero.
That's it.
Because sometimes we can give advice, especially with a youngster. Because I was a youngster and I was listening to the call tonight, Dr. Hunter, and to be honest with you, I grew up in Ninth Ward, New Orleans, and we didn't have a community of sharing faith. You know,
mm-hmm.
we knew that Mama went and a couple of more people in the neighborhood went to church, but our community of believers wasn't like the one that I see establishing right now between you all. Because to be honest with you, Dr. Hunter, you and Sister Valerie, even Charlene, and some of the other ones that God has allowed me to be a part of you all, man, I feel like an honor. It's an honor for me to be around some strong believers like y'all, because I didn't see that growing up. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm 5 years in penitentiary. I'm street life and drugs and alcohol and, you know, sleeping on the streets. And, you know, I didn't come from the walk of life that God has blessed me to be around. And I wanted to say that because what I'm hearing Sister Valerie tell us tonight is that as we be open to the Spirit of God, we're going to meet all different people from all different walks of life. And we have to be in sync with the Spirit. That way we won't miss them. We won't miss them. And
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that you all made it so comfortable for me to be who I am. And I believe that's the best way, Dr. Hunter, that we're going to be able to reach more people, is allowing them to be who they are. Allowing
okay.
people to just you know, be right where you at. You don't have to fake it. If you smoking weed, I just want you to put it out. Put it out till we finish talking. Now, I don't want you to be standing up next to me now blowing the weed. Come on now. I used to like that old weed too, and I don't want to catch a contact that make me want to get back in contact. You understand what I'm saying, Dr.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to feel like that now you don't want to talk to me because of what's in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't want you to not talk to me because of what's in my cup. Or sometimes that old foul language, I don't like that old foul language all the time, Dr. Hunter, but sometimes I gotta listen to a little cuss words, man. You know,
yeah.
and to get what they're really saying and to pray with them, and you know, but I don't like all that. But then I have to think about when they used to be me.
Yeah.
Sister Valerie gave us so much information tonight, man. I really and truly, I'm full. Thank you, Sister Valerie. I'm full. That's a great topic tonight. And you have my 100% support on anything that God would have us to be doing collectively and individually, but collectively. So, Dr. Hunt, I want to say thank you for your leadership and your always letting God show you what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So I just want to say I'm honored to be a part of the team. And thank you, Dr. Hunter. Thank you, Sister Valerie.
Teacher, may I? There's a person on the line just came on. Last four numbers of your numbers, 2779. Can we talk? Hello? I won't give your whole phone, the phone number, unless your last four is 2779. Can we talk? Sister Harris?
Yes, sir.
Well, one thing I want to say tonight is it's a night that I thank you for letting me come in on your show. It's your show. It's your program.
You hit up with you spoke. So did. Whatever,
listen, text me. Amen. See, and you allowed me to come in on your program, and I want to thank you for allowing me. We're trying to reach and reach and tell the untold. The more we get together and do some things, God is going to always be there for us. He's going to always be there for us. Amen, amen. Well, you got about 2 minutes left. You got 2 minutes left to go ahead and finish up. It's up to you. I added just more time if you need it.
I just want to, you know, as Pastor Greg was speaking, I heard in my spirit, be slow to speak.
Yes.
And quick.
Quick dance.
Sometimes, you know, we living in a time that we got to listen to the heart of the people,
mm-hmm.
and understand where people are coming from, because people are hurting. And if you established an environment where they can trust you and know that you're not going to judge them, but you're going to hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And God will give us the wisdom. So I appreciate you, Pastor Greg, saying that we have to wait on God, that we have to be, that he'll lead and guide us. We just have to be in the right position and in the right frame of mind with the right heart. So,
mm-hmm.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, for all that has transpired. I thank you for this new beginning, Lord God. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you have forgiven us, Lord God, and that you are strengthening us and empowering us, Lord God, and trusting us with your people. Lord God, we pray for our children right now, Lord God. We pray for those, Lord God, who are contemplating suicide even at a young age. We pray for those, Lord, who are hurting, Lord, feeling like they're lost and feeling like they're loved and not understanding, Lord God, the times. Not understanding, Lord God, that their parents are on drugs, Lord God. Not understanding that their fathers are not in the home, Lord God. I pray for a divine hedge of protection around this generation, Lord.
I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to equip us, Lord God, with wisdom and tools and instruments, Lord God, that we can reach the lost, Lord God, that we can reach those, Father, who are hurting. I thank you for everybody on this line, God, and I pray that there be a fresh anointing, a fresh impartation of your will, your desire, your purpose, and your plan, that from this day, Lord God, we move forward. We won't retreat, Lord God, but we will be aggressive according to your timing and according to your will. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we say that we love you, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Hannah.